back to Jesus and take me to my home.
Hey, welcome to Set Free, a time of testimony. My name is Ronnie Blair, and I have my brother in Christ right here, Eric.
How you guys doing tonight?
We're doing great.
Awesome. Good.
Well, we awesome. Have an amazing, beautiful couple here tonight, Carl and Vicky Hayes. Can y'all say hi?
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
We welcome awesome. Y'all to the show, and we're so glad that you guys are here last minute. Right. That's just kind of how we do things anymore, it seems like.
I've actually been looking forward to interviewing Carl for a while. I spoke to him maybe 3 months, maybe 4 months ago. It's been a little while now, but I've been looking forward to it just because I spend a couple hundred dollars a month just to be able to talk to Carl.
To go see the smiling faces.
On a regular basis.
Right. I see your truck there often when I drive by.
So Carl is in my opinion, like he's a spiritual giant.
Amen.
And the Bible talks about, you know, being next to those kinds of people and seeking wise counsel. And I have a few on my list, but Carl is like right up there in that. Like Amen. He's one that I look up to. I know that if I speak to him, I'm going to get biblical answers.
Praise God.
It's an honor for me to be sitting on this side, getting ready to have a conversation with this man.
Praise God. How does that make you feel?
Encouraged.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
That was good.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
It makes me think how blessed I am to have him.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anytime I've ever approached you guys anywhere I'm at, I've always seen smiling faces with you guys. And it's just, you guys are just, it's contagious.
Oh,
yeah.
It is.
It's very
good.
Contagious. Yeah. Good. You can definitely see the Holy Spirit over you guys. So God is good.
You know, when I was a kid, I remember being in a church, and everyone's like, not on everybody, but when sometimes when you looked at somebody, that they had like this iridescent glow
right
over them, and I never really could understand what that was
right.
as a child. But as I look back and knowing a little bit more about how God works and the Holy Spirit and how it rests on people, I know what I was looking at back then, and I see that with both of you as well, like just that light of
right.
that glow of the Holy Spirit that rests on your life. So
Amen.
So it's awesome. It's awesome. I'm stoked.
Yeah.
Makes us thankful, and we know we're very blessed, and we're honored to be asked to do this, and just.
And I guess we could say that Saturday we're going to celebrate 45 years of being married.
Wow.
Boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
She had to find out from me in the very beginning that I was the kind of guy who was going to define my own words. One of the first compliments that I gave her was that she was distractive.
Come on now.
I felt like that was quite, that was like more than just attractive.
Right.
You know, she was distractive. So. Right.
You steal my focus from everything.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. That's awesome.
Sweet. Well, congratulations, awesome. You guys.
Yeah.
I can't even last a year.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. You guys have married longer than I've been alive. So
that's
awesome.
Yeah.
And God is good.
Yeah. We look forward to what you guys have to bring to the table. So you want to get us started?
So can you tell us about your childhood? Like, how did you grow up?
Oh.
Where'd you come from?
She would probably say I was raised on a silver spoon.
That's what I thought when I met him.
Both of my parents were teachers, and so they approached life with a lot of discipline and maybe spoiled me a little bit.
Right.
I guess I will say that half of my background is country because my mom was raised in the country.
Where at?
Southeastern Colorado.
Okay.
Called the High Plains Sandy Soil Farm.
Not never the pretty
been.
Part.
Yeah.
Never been to Colorado.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
the not the pretty part of Colorado.
No mountains. No yeah. snow. Yeah. No.
Lots of yeah. Those things. Those what are they? Those
tumbleweeds.
Things that, tumbleweeds.
Yeah.
Lots of those.
Yeah. Tumbleweeds. Yeah.
yeah.
Right. They're disguised in the barbed wire fence whenever you're driving around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. My dad, on the other hand, he was raised during the war. A lot of story with his life, but we'll just kind of short circuit right up to the fact that he was a foster child during World War II, got British merchant marines, traveled the world, got off the ship, went to Bible school where he met my mom. So, so totally two different folks, and they've been married all these years.
Wow. 70 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they've been married almost as long as you, like, if you had both my age and your age together, your parents have been married about that long.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is like my age.
Right.
Yeah. I was the first son. You know,
so. Okay. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Wow. So just, I mean, we were talking a little bit before we hit the button here. And so your story with your mom and dad actually runs parallel with your story with your wife as well.
Absolutely.
Yes. Wow. Wow. So the apple doesn't fall very far.
Right. What's really interesting is Oklahoma City Southwestern College was a Bible school.
Okay.
It had a 2-year liberal arts college and a 4-year Bible school. I happened to go to both of those. So I had 6 years of college waiting for her to come.
Oh, okay.
Aww. So she came in that 6th year.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
That I had been going to a Bible school up close to Tulsa for that first year out of high school.
Okay.
And that summer I met a guy and we're dating, and he had been teaching school close to where I was going, but we hadn't met.
Right.
Okay.
But he was transferring over to Purcell, which is close to Oklahoma City.
Right.
And
right.
He knew about this college, and he said, "How about if I take you up there and see what you think about it?" So we did that. And he, all the stuff happened, and I got in there. And then the school over in Tulsa wouldn't release him from his contract.
Oh,
so
wow.
He goes back to where I would have been.
Wow.
And I go to where he wanted to be.
Right.
And then I met Carl. Oh. So.
God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
So there's a verse in Psalms 8 that says that he gave us dominion over the work of his hands. And so I guess maybe his hands were all going on there, and that just made my life the way it has become.
Right.
He fixed it.
Wow. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's so nice. Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Neat.
What's interesting about my life is it was a serious thing when I felt like I was being called into ministry.
Of right. course.
I wanted to make sure that wasn't just a feeling of a tender heart.
Right.
I had been raised in church. One of my favorite things to do was read Psalms. In the country church, the nursery or the elementary school teacher in the basement of the church would give us stars for how many chapters we read in the Bible that week.
Oh, wow.
So if I read Psalms, I mean, there were a lot of Psalms in there that could add up numbers.
Right.
I loved stars. So,
right.
But Psalms has become like a favorite to me.
Right.
Psalms 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but standeth in the way of sinners.
Amen.
I thought of that a while ago when you were giving me that word of encouragement. You know, just choose who you hang out with.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And that is really kind of important. I mean, if you want to hang out with turkeys, you're not going to soar like an eagle, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and what I love about Psalms is some of those, like, if you want to, you know, put marks on a list or whatever, some of those chapters are 3 or 4 verses long. So you could blow right through it.
Second and third graders, that was easy for me. That was
right. Yeah. Yeah.
But what's funny about that, I've been in ministry now, 52 years?
Good
wow.
night.
And so I've come full circle. It seems like I'm reading Psalms more than ever before. Just
right.
love it. I encourage people. I really believe it's because the Lord wants us to have, Vicki and I have a very, energized prayer life. I do my most passionate praying when she's there in agreement with me.
Amen.
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 That's so cool.
Well, but that's, I mean, again, we go right back to the word on that. Like, you know, when you guys got married, you became one.
Uh-huh.
And that's evident in the fact that, I mean, 40 some years later, like you guys are still, you guys are still there. And, I can tell just by, being, you know, at the Shake Shop on a real regular basis, that when you guys worked, I mean, you guys still love each other like it was almost the first day. I just see that, you know what I mean? And that's, coming from a home like I came from, I love to see that because that's what I've always longed for, you know?
Sure.
So,
sure.
Yeah.
So
it's not to be taken for granted.
Right. Not at all.
Right.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So yeah. Awesome. Very you guys are definitely, definitely someone to walk beside.
Thank you.
So,
you know, what we long for in the beginning of our walk is a valuable thing to think of within the context of the thing that we are talking about this morning. The two biblical stories, one about the elder brother and the prodigal.
Yeah.
And the other story about the 12th hour workers. Yeah. And those who had worked all through the day, you know, to be able to identify what those things are, and then also realize the pitfalls of which end of the schedule, which end of the scale those two things we are, whether I would happen to be a prodigal or that elder brother,
right?
Whether I would happen to be the 12th hour worker, in which I believe the seasons of the church right now, we probably are at a time when the 12th hour workers are, if they're not currently engaged, you know,
they will be soon.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. They will be soon. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you there. Yeah. And just in those two ends of the spectrum, there is something to guard yourself from on both sides. You know what I mean? I see the elder brother, when his brother came home, he was like, but I was here the whole time.
Yeah.
And the early workers did the same thing. Like, well, we were here the whole time, and you give them the same, like, so, and then on the other end of the spectrum, it's like, we should try to guard ourselves from going wayward.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Or getting puffed up with pride because we got paid the same as you and you didn't, we did like that much work. You did this much work,
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
So Miss Vicky, can you tell us about your childhood?
Yes. I was born to some wonderful Christian parents. And they took me to church from the time I was in my mom's belly. And they always were faithful. They didn't send us. They took us together.
Amen.
And awesome. I don't remember my parents ever really having fights in front of us. And in one way, I thought that was really, really special that I never saw that.
Right.
Once I got into marriage, it kind of made me have almost unrealistic expectations.
Right.
Because once we had our first disagreement, I thought we were going to get a divorce. Right. And I thought this just doesn't happen in successful marriages.
Right.
But I found out that it is normal, but I think they were just very discreet.
Right.
Because I'm sure they didn't always agree with it on everything.
Right.
But they were wonderful people. They loved Jesus with all their heart. And I went to the same school for 12 years, went to Roth School for 12 years. And
oh, wow.
Tiger. And then,
yeah, just a good family. Have three brothers, one older, two younger, and happy childhood in the country. Fits you. And, just riding our bicycles around and going to church.
Aww. And we all go to church together now again. I think that's cool. Yeah.
People that we've known since we were really young. Some of the people that go here are some of the friends that we had from way back when.
Oh, wow.
I was talking about your brothers.
Oh, yeah. My brothers go to church. Two of my brothers are here.
Oh, they come here?
They go to this church.
Yeah. Awesome. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to be introduced to those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd like to meet them. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I have one older that's in South Carolina. I don't get to see him very much, but the other two are here. So
the Cupps family name goes back a long ways. Herman had several sisters.
Oh, okay.
Ten. Okay. He had 10.
Good night.
Wow.
There were 14 kids. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I remember mentioning something. You were talking about the very beginning. One of those conversations we had was that we needed to make sure that we didn't clam up during a disagreement.
Right. Yeah.
But about the same time, we had another discussion. Remember this one? We kind of made a pact together that on a day that I felt like I might be down, you made a pact with me that you'd be up on those times, mm-hmm. and vice versa. I said, I know there are going to be times that you're not going to have a victorious day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'll just make a pact. I'll make a commitment on those days. I'll be up. And so those kind of things that you say 45 years ago, thank the Lord they got said then.
Yeah.
And to what extent I've been able to fulfill that, you know? Yeah.
Well, apparently enough to like keep her thinking, man, he's up when I'm down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, you know, one of the things that I should say is I think she was probably a good high school student. Okay.
Right.
Because in a life as a minister, we've gone lots of places. We've done lots of things, senior pastoral ministry, second man in the church, youth ministry, music ministry, EMT, chaplain with hospice. And so traveling quite a lot and having different places that we've gone,
right.
She's always been able to get a good supportive job.
Right.
Well, there you go.
Now, it's really been cool that the Lord has given us seasons when the babies came where she could kind of just be there.
Right.
But her ability to be a helper in the home and actually help with the provision of the home has been quite a remarkable thing.
Wow.
Proverbs 31 wife.
There you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 So did you, were you going to say something?
No, that's good.
Okay. So, we were talking a little bit before and you said when you received your call mm-hmm. to ministry, you took that seriously. So let's hear a little bit about that moment for you when it was like you knew that was the voice of God and there was no way around what he had asked you to do.
Yeah, it was definitely an experience. It was a youth camp. I was 17 years old.
Did y'all know each other then?
No,
not yet.
The preacher preached on full time on being in the ministry. Yeah. And it was the last night of camp. And I really feel like I had a tender heart towards the message being preached.
Right.
Okay.
And so, I went out on a hillside under a cross, a lit cross out at the youth camp. And I was kneeling there and I just said, Lord, I really feel drawn to this message and I could actually be drawn into full time ministry right now. But I need to know that it's you and not just the fact that this guy just got finished preaching a really great preaching, you know, a really great message.
Right. Yeah.
So I said, if I'm really supposed to be in full-time ministry, make the guy who's praying behind me lay both hands on the middle of my back, open fingered. And that became specific. My sign. And he did that. And the guy, he happened to be my neighbor. We'd never prayed together. We both had sports cars. Okay.
Okay.
We're both in the youth group, but for him to do that in that moment. And I remember the Lord saying, remember the phrase full-time ministry. See, because at that point in time, the denomination I was in, the only idea that you might have of being a full-time ministry in small churches would be the senior pastor.
Right.
And so I've had a lot of roles that were not that senior pastor because I felt like I was supposed to see those as ministry roles, but it became more of an imagination. I mean, everything turned out being an imagination, a leading.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Imagination. Explain that a little bit.
Okay. I believe that the Lord gives us witty imaginations by wisdom. He gives us witty imaginations, the ability to see ourselves doing something that is the right thing to do. And I think he takes us from season to season.
Okay.
Back in the first chapter of Psalms again, one of my favorite parts of that is where it says, after describing that man who is meditating on, loves the word, meditates on the word day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water who brings forth his fruit in his season. And so be very aware of what the season of your life that you're in. And having come through seasons, it's easier to see looking back that those were seasons than it was able to really imagine looking forward to.
Okay.
So using the word imagination in that context is to be able to walk by faith, knowing that, well, he's led us this way before. Now it feels like he's leading us the same way, another way.
Right.
You know?
Okay. I got you. So it's part of the shaping or molding process that we go through with God when we're wondering what we're going to do next season. And then he starts revealing, that fruit starts, that's an apple tree. Okay. And it's nice and red now. I get what you're talking about. I get you.
When we started ministry, we moved to Colorado and that was kind of like just what I figured all my life I would do, but it was a new thing for her.
Okay.
She was going to be moving away.
I've asked my mom, I would ask my mom later years, when my kids got older and started looking at moving away. And I was just like, I was having such a hard time with our daughter, especially. And, especially the idea that she wasn't going to be close.
Right.
And I went to my mom and I said, how did you handle me telling you that I was going to leave? We were moving to Denver.
Right.
And it makes me cry right now to think about it.
Right.
And she cried and she said, because the only way I could handle it was because you were following God.
Aww.
And that's what I had to just, that really helped me.
Right.
Right.
And so there were times along the way that I would be all choked up about Mandy and God would say, this is not about you. And I'd be like, okay,
right.
That's right. It's not about me.
Right.
There's a bigger work and he needs my kid.
Yeah.
So Trusting the Lord.
You know, I worry about that myself right now because I have a 13-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, I just want to, no, you're not going anywhere. You know, uh-huh. I told her when she was 11, I started taking her birthdays away from her. And she's rebelled the whole time. So
it's not going along with that, huh?
Yes, yeah. not having it.
Yeah, well, Mandy's gone on several mission trips along the way when she was younger.
Wow.
Probably started when she was about 14.
Oh, wow.
And, like, I'm talking about Africa and Peru and India and places like that.
Oh, wow.
And it was really hard, but my dad would say, how do you let her go, like, on those places? And why do you let her do that? And I say, well, Daddy, if God said for her to do it, then who am I to say don't?
Right. Right.
I mean, he can take care of her wherever she is.
Right.
Right.
And sure enough, he did.
So how great is it that we're now going to a church that says one of the staples is reach as far as you can with as many as you can.
Right.
You know? Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
So three kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Three kids. Two boys and a girl.
Uh-huh. Had the two boys first. Then we had three miscarriages and didn't look like we would have any more. But we had gone to a doctor. We had moved out of the mountains into Kansas. And went to a new doctor just to talk about things. And he said, why don't you guys just accept that you have these two healthy boys and don't keep doing this to yourself? You know, this, it's traumatic to go through that.
Right. Sure.
And so I was like accepting that and thinking, okay, I have my boys and they're awesome.
Right.
And I went home from that appointment being pregnant already and didn't know it.
Oh, wow.
And so, but the same, the same exact symptoms would start on this one too, though,
right,
as they did on the other three, when that meant they had died.
Right.
And so it happened, and I came out of the bathroom and I told Carl, I said, we've lost this one too. And he just said, no, we're not going to accept it.
Right.
Amen.
And I just was like, I didn't feel like I had anything left.
Right.
But he rose up and he got a guy from our church and they would meet at 5:30 every morning. I prayed for a whole healthy, smart, beautiful girl baby. We wanted a girl, and all the symptoms stopped and I had Mandy.
Oh my gosh. So knowing your daughter, I don't know her real well, but I know her enough to know that exact prayer is what you got.
That's what
you guys have. You guys have a smart, beautiful, healthy daughter
that loves Jesus with all of her heart.
Good night.
All of her heart.
Good night.
Just totally. Wow. So he's so good.
Amen. He is. He is faithful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so since we're talking about children, let's hear it.
Yeah, well, they're all different. Daniel was a premature. He was a month early, and we lived in Denver.
Okay.
First month in the hospital for him, but he did great. And David, though.
This is a story that we weren't supposed to talk about. Carl made it very specific, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to hear about it.
We were living in the mountains, pastoring a little church in Norwood, Colorado. And whenever David decided to come a little bit early, it was a Sunday morning. And so Carl had to get someone to pass to fill in for him. Okay. That man's name was Samuel or Sammy, wasn't it? Uh-huh. By Sammy. Yeah. So he was a volunteer EMT. And so we went to the clinic when we realized that I was probably in labor, and they were going to send us away. It's an hour and 20 minutes to the hospital. And that's what we were going to do.
Wow.
And because we did have a 2-year-old and thought it'd be nice for me to have that little bit of a break because we didn't have any family. We were 20 hours from family.
Right.
And so we're going to head off in our Blazer. And I said, man, I don't feel comfortable with that. Could we get the ambulance? And the doctor said, sure, we can get it. So they got an ambulance and we get in there and we start down the mountain. We have this big mountain to drive down in this hour and 20 minutes, you know.
Sure.
And I'm in labor. And so Carl gets right here behind my head. And
that's where I thought that's where the coach was supposed to be.
Right. And he's right here. And we stop. Our neighbor, very next door neighbor, is one of the EMTs. And then we go down the mountain and we stop at another house and pick up another neighborhood minister. And he's the other one. And they're down here.
Right.
At the other end of me.
Uh-huh.
And we're going down the road. And I they're all, he's up here praying, God help us to make it to the hospital. And I'm going, Carl, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. And I said, my water just broke. And so they're all freaking out. And we finally just pulled over to the side of the road and they caught him. But the neighbor and the other preacher caught him, not Carl. That was the point. It's like, Carl, where are you? Switch places. Come on. Embarrassing. Anyway, but there he was. And
how much did he weigh?
He weighed 5'2".
Oh, little bitty turd.
Daniel was 4'5", so my babies were really little. But David, we went back to the clinic, and the doctor met us on the way and finished it all off. And anyway, we had him at 9:24 in the ambulance at beside the road. There was an old mining town called Sam's, Colorado. We didn't have a name picked out. I thought it was a girl and no boy name. But Sammy was our preacher that morning, and we were at Sam's, Colorado. And his dad's name is Samuel, and we love the prophet Samuel. So his name was Samuel.
Oh,
and then I liked the middle name David, so Samuel David.
Okay.
Now he goes by David, but and then we went home at 5 o'clock that afternoon because the clinic wasn't even open that day.
Oh, well.
So we just took this little thing home with us.
Wow. And we got a kick out of making his birth certificate because the hospital facility was ambulance number 2. The city in which he was born was Sam's, Colorado, which wasn't on the map. I mean, it was only on the map.
Right.
And the address was mile marker 9.
Whatever the mile marker 62. Was, I don't remember. Yeah. We went back there one time when he was like maybe 14 or something.
How funny.
And took a picture at that spot.
That's okay.
Probably that is
right here on the shoulder is where you were born.
This is where you were born. Yep.
That's cool. Wow. Man.
Okay. So were you about to say something, Carl?
Well, I don't know how much time to spend in each one of these seasons, but I guess probably the most remarkable story that I experienced during that time of being an EMT was one time we were called out on a heart attack.
Okay.
38-year-old mother. Had been totally in heart crisis. She had no oxygen or heart beating for was 6 miles out of town, took us volunteers about 35 minutes to get there.
Oh, wow.
We showed up and she's blue and she's not breathing.
Wow.
And I had to start doing the cardiac compressions. We were starting to bag her and all that. And the thing about it is, I changed from going 1,000 to 1,000 to Jesus help us, Jesus help us, Jesus help us.
Oh, wow.
And so it was brought up to the council. One of the family members didn't quite understand. Is it normal that you do the last rites on your victims?
But was
the
way it was said. But didn't you? That was after she lived, though.
Yeah. She did live.
She lived.
Praise God.
That's what the deal was. We took her in the ambulance. It was a 2-hour drive. And by the time we left the hospital, she was sitting up in bed in the emergency room answering questions based on person, place, and time. And she had no heartbeat or oxygen for 45 minutes.
Wow. Holy smokes.
And then the guy has the nerve to say, how dare you use that name?
Yeah. And so anyway, it became quite an issue in our little town.
Right.
And I'll always remember when she saw me on the street, she just walked up and said, Carl, I just have one thing to say. And that's thank you. You know,
praise God.
But to feel like that the power of the Lord was there, you know, in the opportunity of just staying busy about the kingdom, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What I finally did say at the council, whenever they're talking about, says, okay, I'll do my very best to act professionally. But what I was doing there was a matter of reflexes. I pray.
Right.
And whenever somebody's in crisis, I'm going to holler out the name of Jesus.
It's an instinctive thing.
Right.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
I think we live at a time of crisis in the world right now. And
yes.
I'm totally comfortable that our intuition is to cry out. If it's spiritual warfare,
amen.
If it's coming into agreement, coming to a place to where when we are in agreement and we think that we're in agreement with Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, and all of that agreement is going on. No wonder he said, if any two or touch of anything will agree on this earth, if anything you ask my Father, it'll be done. You know?
Yeah.
And amen.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of really close calls on accidents or close, what could have been really devastating accidents. And both two of them that I can think of are, I just, I just immediately start screaming, Jesus, help right. us, Jesus, help us. And he got us through things that didn't even look possible.
Right.
But it's just our instinct. That's right. What we do because he's our savior.
Can I tell this story? The truck that was coming up over the hill towards us, it was overloaded with tires.
Okay. Oh,
wow. And he was on our side of the road when he crested the hill. It was just a 2-lane road.
Right.
And so he was trying to correct and he overcorrected. And so we got this overloaded pickup swerving both ways in front of us.
Right.
And we're hitting the ditch, you know.
And it's an inclined ditch and we're in a low riding car. Yeah.
Oh, and so wow. I told Vicki later on, I told Jesus, she's praying, listen to her. I got to drive.
Boy, that was amazing.
But the other car didn't get hurt. Nothing happened. We had to go off the road, got back on the road. No problems at all.
The guy didn't even stop. He just kept on going.
Didn't check on us or anything.
I'm sure we were in the ditch, but anyway, thank the Lord.
but that's all product of being conditioned for that. Mm-hmm. Like that type of reaction doesn't happen for a lot of times until you've been walking with mm-hmm. God for quite some time. And then like, that's when that is, man, I know that the Bible says that there's no name above any other name, but Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? So that's when, that instinct comes out. Mm-hmm. If we could get that early in our relationship with Jesus Christ, for what I'm saying, for people who you guys were raised in church. And so it's a little bit different when you come to Jesus and you're 35,
true.
You know,
right.
Those things aren't ingrained in you. What's ingrained in you is, my dad drank, so I'm going to drink, or my dad did this, or my mom did this, and so I'm going to, and so you're conditioned for that. But you guys are conditioned to praise God even in the storm, no matter what.
No matter what.
Yeah, no matter what.
In fact, like, we're not conditioned to cuss because it wasn't really part of either of our lives. And I had a boss, and I won't even say any specific things, but I had a boss, and he would always tell people to watch out for me because they were going to make me cuss. And this was a Christian man that professed all the time about his church, but then he also talked about the other things that he did, which didn't sound very good. But anyway, he would do this to bug me, and I'd say, that's just not my response. So no, I didn't let it like show that it was really bothering me that much, but he did it all the time. And so, I just tried to, you know, I finally decided that I was going to have a meeting with him and talk to him about it because it just had gotten to where it was bothering me a lot. But one day he came in before that meeting and he stood in my doorway and he said, I finally figured you out. I counseled a woman like you one time. And I said, oh, really? And he goes, yeah, she was raised by very strict parents. And she was a pastor's wife. And I realized that whenever she was angry, she just hadn't learned the words to express herself. So I taught her. And I thought, he wants to teach me how to cuss.
Wow.
I didn't have the vocabulary. And I said, well, you know, I'm okay with my vocabulary, but thanks anyway.
Right. Yeah. Right. Thanks for the concern.
Thanks anyway. Yeah. So then that's when I requested a meeting with him.
Right.
And we had a little talk.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And it got better after that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
So, I know you guys are kind of in a season right now. I know this because we pray for you guys on a regular basis.
Oh, thank you.
And I know that it's not like a season because you guys trust God. That's just all there is to it. I know that. I see that in your husband, mm-hmm. and I see that you walk beside your husband. So I know that you have the same trust that he does because you guys are one.
Mm-hmm.
But I also see that you guys are going through a season. Can you kind of bring us into that a little bit? Just let us know. I mean, you don't have to go into any major detail or anything if you don't want to, but the way
I would say it is, we started operating in a message of wholeness. Not about 14 years ago now.
Sure.
Where we really believe in the development of body, soul, and spirit.
Right. Sure.
And so having been the case, we actually have built a business with our family involved with us.
Right.
And so that makes it where several of us have choices about whether we do smart or not so smart things.
Right.
And so consequently, the Bible says, what you sow, you reap.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Now, some of those things that we've sown have been really, really good.
Right.
Then some of those things that we've sown have been not so good.
Right.
Right.
And we tend to find ourselves in the moment reaping some of the things that weren't so good.
Okay? Exactly.
So, for example, this morning, your text that you send out that sure. got to me. This morning, I was realizing we have a business that has to do with nutrition. Part of it has to do with fitness.
Right.
We're really involved in church, and we're thankful that we get to be part of the senior ministry here. She's part of the worship here. So we have a lot of things that you might call juggling, you know?
Right.
But this morning, while I was really battling how many different sections of those things that I believe we're in spiritual warfare right now.
Right.
Sure, sure. In fact, I would agree.
Yeah. In fact, I had felt there was a little bit of a failure on my part to have been disciplined to get my prayer life, the actual prayers that we pray every morning, hadn't done that before I showed up at work this morning, you know?
Oh, okay.
So I did some quick ones, you know, strong man, I bind you in the name of Jesus, principalities, powers, we're wrestling against you, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I was jabbering off some of those things, you know, but deep down inside, I realized I was just doing it in a moment, okay?
Right.
And I needed something more. And so I really believe it's valuable, not only in wholeness in our own development, but to be plugged into the church.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
To be plugged into what you're doing every day. And I promoted that at men's meeting just a couple of Thursday nights ago, you know?
Why, thank you.
And it was really well taken. And so consequently, what you spoke about this morning was Job.
Yes.
And how that man had a confession. I mean, God said about him that he had a good heart. He walked uprightly, you know?
And
still things were tough on him.
Yeah.
So if you can kind of identify with somebody that God would say was perfect in all of his ways, you know, right. Well, it's kind of an interesting thing. And I'll try to not say so much about that. I have an ego problem when I do. But I mean, we do make mostly right thoughts, right choices.
Right.
Still have battles like crazy.
Right.
But because we're plugged in, to what Jesus is doing, not something that's just a formal lifestyle habitual practice, but it's what Jesus and the Holy Spirit are doing right now in this 2023,
yeah.
you know, when
yeah.
things are falling apart in the world, you know,
right.
What one of the ladies in our class says, she says, God doesn't say they're falling apart. They're just falling together.
You
know?
Right.
Right.
So Lord bless that part. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
I feel like when God moved in our lives to bring us back here from McAllister, we were pastoring there for 5 years.
Okay.
And we owned a home and we had bought a business. We had bought a nutrition club over there. And our son Daniel was supposedly handling the one over here. But we were hearing things that were concerning to us. And one day someone came in and just out of the blue said, can I buy, I wonder if you'd sell this business to me. And so we were like, well, so we started talking to the guy and we ended up agreeing to sell it to him. And so then 2 weeks after that, I was talking to some other people that were in our line and I was telling them that we're going to be selling the business. And they just looked at each other and they said, well, where's your house? Are you going to sell your house? And we were like, we hadn't even thought about selling our house. And I said, I said, I told them where it was. And I said, I don't really know what God has in mind. And they said, well, what school district is it? And all this. And I said, I don't even know. I'd never seen a bus there. And they got, they're over there just checking it all out on their phones. And then they said, could we come look at your house?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, I guess. So they came like a couple days later and then they called, like, we just put a price on it. Carl just priced it. And then a day after they looked at it, they called back and said, we want your house.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm like, Carl, I guess we need to talk to the church because it sounds like we're moving.
Right.
And, I don't know if we're going to still be pastoring or what we're going to be doing. Yeah. So then it turns out we have a man in our church that was going through credentialing process and he finished it up on October 4th. And that was our last Sunday, was October 4th, 2020.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And then we moved 2 weeks later. And we got back here and God brought us back here. Like Daniel was in desperate need. He was really having he was seriously, I don't even know how to say, alcoholic, just really bad.
He had lost both in-laws and his marriage.
Oh, wow.
And was still trying to...
trying to run the business, but it was just, he wasn't there. I mean, he was coming to work inebriated and
right.
whatever all that would be. And we would, so we got here and we were trying to work with him, and we were seeing how really horrible it was. And he experienced a really bad fall down 14 stairs and broke his head open, 27 stitches.
Oh, wow.
Had to stay with us for 30 days, or decided to stay with us for 30 days after that. And so this, since then though, I mean, God has just turned it all around for Amen. Him, and he's doing amazingly right now.
Yeah.
And then we also have David, and on the 4th of August, we found out he was really, really sick at his house, about to die, and got him to the emergency room just to capsulize it quickly. And he has end stage kidney failure. And so he is in the city right now doing just dialysis 5 days a week. And just, that's just his life right now. Mm. But, you know, we don't give up on God.
Right.
Amen.
God is our healer, and he doesn't change. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever.
Amen.
Yesterday, today, and forever. And his word is his word. And we keep holding on to it. And we just keep asking, you know, keep believing. We stand on his word that we will see our miracle for him. But what's good is that he has turned back more to God
right.
through Amen. This rather than being bitter about it. He's really turned more to God, and he's having faith. So,
Amen.
Well, Vicki's talking. I'm remembering when the kids were young, we pastored in Fox, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And it was during that period of time that I began to try to encourage myself in the Lord and in the reality that if you give people about a year, there can changes be made.
Yes.
And so I was thinking how easy to be to get discouraged just day by day by day. But then, and so even in this season right now, we're thinking, you know, Daniel is getting compliments all the time because he's the picture of health. He's brilliant as far as holding a conversation and stuff like that. And so that year, this last year has just made that kind of difference, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah. We've actually met him. He's the one that he's been to Life Recovery, hasn't he?
Daniel?
Yeah. It was when we were in the other room.
David has.
One of them has.
David has. David's he has his hair.
He has a haircut like mine.
Your haircut.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Daniel used to have a lot of hair. Now he's just real clean cut.
But
I was going to say though, when the boys were young, before we had Mandy, we were doing some traveling around, and Carl decided we should do read the 1 year Bible. And so I would read it out loud while he drove, and the boys would be in the back in the van, and they would fall asleep a lot of times while I was reading. And I'd think, oh, they're not getting anything out of this, but I really believe they did.
Right.
And I think they have a pretty good knowledge of the Bible. And so I remember though, on December 31st of that year, that I finished my reading and I had done it, and I'm thinking, I did it.
Right.
I'm finished.
Right, right.
And I felt like God said, you've just started.
Right, right. Now do it again.
Do it again.
Yeah.
And we've done it every year since then.
Well, that's cool.
I'll tell you, I've been through the word, over and over again, doing the same thing, you know, and that's when I started noticing, a lot of desires changing in my life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like my walk just in even surface level reading, my walk changed.
Yeah.
Because now once you dive deeper, mm-hmm. then it matures even more.
Yeah.
But just in that surface level reading where I'm just reading the Bible just to get, cause just to get the information that's, mm-hmm. that's right at the surface. My life changed completely just doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And now just with the things that I got going on a regular basis, I see that even transpiring even more. So for those who are listening to this podcast, I would encourage you just read mm-hmm. God's word. Right. Just read it. Just take it an hour a day or I mean, just, okay, so in order to read through the Bible in a year, it takes about 35 or 40 minutes to get that number of chapters done so that you could be on point to read it throughout the year. So just take that much time and set it aside for God and watch what he does with your life.
Right.
Just watch what he does with your life. Because I know you guys probably have been through the Bible several times. It started when you were way young. Me just in the past several years doing it, I mean, my life is not the same. It's just not the same. Yeah. It's not at all.
Yeah.
At all.
One of the things that I have thought of, and we had this discussion in the club the other day about the different stages of personal development along the way.
Yeah.
Right. We talked about sobriety and recovery. We used a couple of words about Christian maturity. Discipling. Mm-hmm. We actually followed that with the idea of prosperity, you know?
Right. Yeah. Excellent, I remember that conversation.
Excellent health. And so that has to do with the wholeness idea, you know?
Right.
And so, one of the things that I thought of is the way we were having that discussion that morning was how healthy it is when people can get their steps in order toward the idea of abundance, you know?
Right.
Moving from the steal, kill, and destroy aspect of John 10:10, where the thief comes to do that,
right,
to the actual intent of the Holy Spirit through Jesus. And he said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have seen people that have made shortcuts, efforts, and to try to just skip to that excellent health and financial well-being and such as that without those kind of disciplinary maturing processes that we're talking about that happen when you have both a devotional and a study attitude toward reading the word.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had something to say about that, but it's gone now. I'm really working on my memory. Can you tell? Uh-huh. So the mission that you guys have now, is vital. And I would like to wrap that into the Bible because I believe that it's important. Uh-huh. And I know that you're biblically minded. Uh-huh. So the Bible says that we are created in God's image.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Now, as we look at the Holy Trinity, we see God's image, three in one. And your mission is to get people to understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Body, mind, and spirit.
Uh-huh.
So we see this in a couple of different places in the Bible. We see it in creation. Mm-hmm. We also see it in when Christ was baptized. We see all three present at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The sky opens up, the voice of God comes out, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, and we see Christ coming up out of the water. That's the picture that we get, right? Mm-hmm. So Christ is body, mm-hmm. God is mind, and the dove is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yes, we are created in the image of God. We have all three of those properties. Uh-huh. We may not physically look like God, but we are created in the image of God in the way that we are put together.
Amen.
In the way that we're put together.
And it's interesting how that if you think about how we are in the image of God, then God, through the Word, became flesh.
Yes.
And then he took on our nature or our image, the nature of flesh and blood.
Right. You know? The physical part.
Yeah. What an interesting. John says something like there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And three that bear witness, the spirit and the water and the blood, you know, those issues there. Probably one of my favorite verses is that has to do with the reason I'm motivated for this wholeness mission that I have is 1 Thessalonians 5:23,
okay,
where it says, I pray that your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
And so.
Amen.
We have this language that we use called level 10. In the fitness, you know, whatever you want, that would be your level 10. And if you have that, that's something you can kind of look at in the mirror. You can evaluate. That has to do with the body.
Right.
Well, I have used that as an illustration to say, well, okay, now how would you like to look mentally? You know, have you read a book? Do you know how to, you know how to write a letter? Do you know how to have a conversation? You know, how do you want to look mentally? Would you like to be a level 10, you know?
Right.
And then, so you can pretty well see something in the mirror about your body. And you could actually answer questions on a test, you know, maybe that kind of thing about your mind. But the thing that really is more difficult, because it's the unseen and eternal part of us, is that spirit.
Right.
Which, that's the spirit that is, I think, the image of God, who never sleeps. You know, our spirit is just always alert and wanting to be closer to Him. My nighttime hours, we meditate on Him during the night courses, you know?
Right.
And that's when I'll find that He's not sleeping, and my spirit's, sometimes I'm awake. Right. but I actually think when I wake up, my spirit was already there, you know?
Right.
So anyway.
And really finding that balance is important, because sometimes you'll see people that really like to work out, and that's just what they do. They're obsessed with that.
Yes.
And they really can't even see anything but that.
Right.
And so they let a lot of the more important go, which spiritually, that's the most important part. And so we just feel like that finding that balance is really important, that we take care of the whole man.
Amen.
And don't plan to give a trash back to him when we get to heaven and say, well, I didn't take good care of this part, but so I'm here a little early because
I just happen to agree wholeheartedly with that. So I have throughout my life chased after several different aspects, chased after fortune, chased after mm-hmm. fame, chased after success, chased after all these things, chased after a physical appearance, mm-hmm. and spent time focusing on one section, mm-hmm. and not the whole picture, and ended up left feeling empty, without, yeah. and devoid, because I was focusing on my, my body,
yeah.
my physical body, and setting aside the way that God created me in such a perfect manner, to focus on all three. If you can get all three in unison, working in fairly decent unison, mm-hmm. like there's just a piece about that you can't buy it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get it artificially.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You have to, and I guess my point to saying that is I have scheduled my day, around feeding my spirit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then taking care of my mind, mm-hmm. and then my physical, but all three of those are sufficient before I leave my house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I got to get to God before the world gets to me.
Yeah. That's really great way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a proverb that I read one time that seemed like it kind of pinpointed that.
Mm-hmm.
It says, unless you wet the edge, you have to put more strength. Talking about an axe.
Okay.
Okay. Unless you sharpen the axe, you got to swing it harder. And so if you have to build your body because you don't have enough sense to put a sharp edge on the axe, so work on your sense a little bit. Yeah. then you don't have to wear out the joint so much on that dull axe.
Right. Right. Mm. Yeah.
Man.
Pretty
good. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just
taking it all in. Like, y'all are just amazing. Yeah. Y'all are just amazing. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. It's
well, I love going to church together.
Yeah.
I love experiencing life. As I've always thought, Ephesians says that we're members one of another.
Yeah.
Right. We're compacted by that which every joint supplies. We're made closer. we're the body.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's fun to feel like that's a place where we believe. We believe, we live like we believe the word of God is true.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, and so that's the thought that triggered earlier when we were talking about illness and what you guys like, kind of where you're at with David and those different things. The thought that came into my mind was, so several times throughout scripture, we see, I think it was Elijah that lay down on a dead boy,
uh-huh.
right?
Uh-huh.
And he was raised back to life. Mm-hmm. Christ called Lazarus out of the tomb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he got up and walked out of the tomb himself. Mm-hmm. So several times in scripture, we see resurrection. Several times in scripture, we also see healing. Mm-hmm. The one that comes to mind, and then the reason why it comes to mind is because I'm kind of putting together a message about it. Is the ten lepers? Uh-huh. You know, they ran into Jesus on the, you know, and he says, "Hey, go show yourself to the," uh-huh. you know, and only one of them comes back, but they were healed in that moment. All ten of them uh-huh. were healed in that moment. You know what I mean? So, I say that to say that there is a name that's above kidney failure.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's above the name of cancer. Yes. It's above the name of diabetes.
Yeah.
It's above the name of addiction.
Yes.
It's above the name of depression, anxiety. Yeah. Like label your issue here.
Yeah.
And there is a name that is above that. Uh-huh. It's above what David's got going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's above what Daniel had going on. Uh-huh. It's above what's going on with your parents. Uh-huh. It's above all of that stuff.
Yeah. Right.
And I speak Jesus over all those situations. Amen. I speak Jesus over those. Amen. I speak Jesus over the situations that I have going on in my life, over the things that you have going on in your life. And I don't know what you got going on, but I speak Jesus over it too, Ron. Like that's the name. Absolutely. That is the name that victory is claimed in.
Amen. Yes.
So that's what I mean. Amen. So that's the thought that came to mind that kind of faded away, and I see why it faded away now, because the enemy doesn't want that name to be spoken.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't want it.
Yeah.
And he's not going to stop it.
No. Right.
Uh-huh. He's not going to stop
Never.
It.
Yeah.
So,
Never.
So I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you. Know? You. Yeah. Amen. We receive it in Jesus' name. Yeah.
I receive that too.
Yeah. And can I add to that confession real quick? Because there's a verse in Psalms, I think it's 107:20, that says, "He sent his word and healed them."
Yeah.
Amen.
And so where I am today with David is him sending excerpts of him reading through the scriptures. He happens to be in Ecclesiastes,
okay.
sending excerpts over the text. And so we're seeing the sent the word and healed them, the opportunity that the word is what we're meditating on. And so Amen. Anyway, I kind of thought I'd add to that because, see, that's the beginning of the year. And so it'd have been cool if I could have said that right before you said all of that about the power of the name of Jesus that's just going to bring it into being in the name of Jesus. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, out of all the ministries that you guys have done together, what are some of your favorite ones? Ones that you just really enjoyed doing the most? I'm sure all of them, of course, but which ones really stuck out to you?
For me, I'd say when we pastored in Colorado, mm-hmm. in the mountains in Colorado, and when Daniel was a little baby and we had David, that was just like a dream to me. Wow. And it was also that I had always wanted to play the piano when I was a little girl, but my parents didn't have a piano and they couldn't afford it and all right. that stuff. So I just never got to do it. And so God allowed me to marry a preacher.
Praise God.
He put us in a church in the mountains in Colorado. And we lived in a little trailer next to the church. And there was a piano in the church.
Aww.
And I was so
Hallelujah.
Excited.
Aww.
And so Carl found a lady and he said, "Teach her how to play the fastest way you can." I didn't even know the names of the notes. So she had to really take me from the basics right there.
Right.
But within 2 or 3 months, I could play behind him to sing.
Oh, wow.
Because he's a singer, you know, and I could play chords. And it's really cool now that we get to this place. And what I get to do here is play chords.
Right.
And that's exactly what God allowed me to learn. So
Amen.
It's just amazing.
That's yeah. What about you, Carl?
That's a hard one to answer.
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah. It's, I've enjoyed being senior pastor role. whenever I was on staff in this church back in the 90s, that was a real special time to me. It was being back where her pastor was, and right. and he had actually made the statement, said maybe some of this time here, Carl, would be just good for you, you know. And I remember having long hours together with prayer in the sanctuary on Thursdays, were what we did back then.
Right. Okay.
And it'd be hard not to say that. I will say, during 15 years of chaplain ministry with hospice, there were some things that happened. I would say, Lord, I want to use Moses' prayer. Don't send me unless you'll go with me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
One of the verses in John that said, he that receiveth me, he that receiveth him that sent me receiveth me, or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I was remembering that Jesus sent me into those places, and it was kind of like whenever that word had meant so much to me. And I believe that the Lord did go with me during that time, and to feel the experience of that confidence, I would say was a big piece of that season. You know,
okay.
I loved this season here because I've done things like bicycle racing and stuff like that here in the latter parts of my years. And I just love that, you know.
Right. I think he just kind of loves life.
Praise God. We do.
Yeah. That's
love
awesome.
Life. If I made some sort of poem out of it, love life with my wife, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
I think we found the title.
Right. Yeah. So, one of the questions that we usually kind of finish up or wrap the program up with is we want to give you an opportunity just to speak into somebody's life, because there's several people listening. So if you had the opportunity to say something to somebody who might be struggling, whether it be with illness or even the way that they walk with God, just whatever that situation may be, what words would you speak into somebody that might be struggling with whatever?
Well, something that's really been important or has been noticeable to me lately is I hear people saying, "That's your truth, not mine." And I just, so I've looked up some of the, you know, what God says about that, and that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
Amen.
And no matter what our issue is, he has the answer.
Right.
And like our pastor says, the answer is in the word. We can find the answer to whatever we need in this book.
Amen.
And so, but he's the truth, and there's not any other truth.
Amen.
And whatever, if there's something else that's confusing to people, then just look to him and his truth, because that's where it is. And to me, it's just that I cast it all on him. Like he says, cast your cares on me because I care for you.
Right.
And I sometimes take them back up and I have to say, God, I'm sorry. I took them back. I need to cast them back on you again.
Right.
Right.
And I know he cares. And so I just encourage you to cast your cares on him.
Amen.
And he will take care of it.
Amen.
You know, commit your ways to him, trust in him, and he'll bring it to pass. That would be my simple way of saying what I think. How about more in depth.
I'm not going to get too deep here. I can go two different directions, and I'll just choose this one first. Okay.
Okay.
But he's going to go both.
Actually.
Well, we'll see. If I share this one, it's going to be because I first shared it with my children. And if it is important to me to prioritize sharing it with my children, it seems like it'd be important to share it with anybody.
Right.
Sure, sure.
One day I was reading the Bible and Luke 21:36 just caught my attention.
Okay.
It says there, watch and pray that you be counted worthy to escape these things which are coming upon them.
Oh, amen.
Stand before the Son of Man. So I would encourage anybody listening to have an alertness in your spirit like you've never had it before.
Amen.
We live in a time when the Holy Spirit says, and this is the second thing that I was going to say, that where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. We live in a place and a time in which sin is abounding.
Yes.
Maybe some out there have visited a whole lot of that sin in their own experience. But sin has abounded. Grace is a very abounding thing. It says, so right now, be alert. Amen. Be aware, be watchful and praying because he has a plan.
Amen.
He has, and I'm not saying, I'm not preaching an escapist kind of theology here.
Sure.
I believe that we should be prepared for anything because no telling what.
Right.
But there is that verse, and I think it's powerfully important because at least I know that if I have prayed that prayer, if I have said, Lord, count us worthy to escape those Amen. Things are coming upon them. If at yes. least we've prayed that prayer, we have that. It's kind of like, I don't play poker, but would that be an ace in the hole?
maybe an ace in the hole. Yes, yes sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Well, I don't know why he would say that unless there would be a reason to say that.
Right.
You know? And there are those things are going to come to pass because that's what his word says.
Right.
So we pray it. I mean, we definitely pray it.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that I've come to notice about God's word is it is not only inerrant, mm-hmm. but what is spoken about in his word. I'm watching it unfold as I grow. Older, I'm watching it happen. So, everything that is spoken about in God's word is going to happen.
Absolutely,
I'm convinced about that.
Yeah.
And so with that being said, we need to walk in step with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be praying that we be counted worthy.
Yeah.
It's one of mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, cause what, and what is worthy? Like worthy is what the word says.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's what the word says.
Yeah.
And so, we do need to be walking in step yeah. with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We need to be walking in step with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. We do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So just a shameless plug because I love both these people and they do have a business that they run. It's right downtown here in Ada, Oklahoma. It's called Fitness Mission. They also have a gym attached to that. That's a nutrition shop that's attached to that. Excuse me. That's a Nutrition Mission. And if you've got a desire to live a different life, maybe start putting your body back together and being a good steward of what God gave you, step down there and talk to Carl and Vicky Hayes. They will treat you well.
And best shakes in town.
I guarantee you, they will treat you well.
Yeah.
So. Amen.
Love doing it.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, yeah. You bet.
Well, thank you for listening. Make sure you download. Make sure you share it. Make sure you tell somebody about the podcast, you know, because we appreciate you guys coming on. Your story is going to touch so many people. I know it's touched me.
Oh, yeah.
And we just love you guys. And we just
love y'all too.
So glad to be a part of you guys' life.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Would you like to take us out in prayer?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Father God, I thank you that you have called us to peace.
Yes.
You've given us every tool to bring us to that calling.
Yes.
That you called us, Lord, to share, to impact, to make yes. disciples.
Yes.
And you give us the assurance that you'll be with us as we obey.
Yes.
And Lord, I just pray for a special demonstration of your Spirit to us and through us
yes.
in such a way that we will be a blessing to this community.
Yes.
We'll be a blessing to the region, all of us together,
yes,
a blessing to the region. Lord, I thank you for what you have done, that I can call myself both an American and a Christian,
yes,
and to realize that you said that we could let our light shine. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll cause us, as Isaiah said, arise, shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Lord, you said that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Lord, let your glory shine. And shine yes, through Lord. Us, yeah. Lord, like never before. I pray in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen.